Gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Paranormal Pulse version 2.0. My name is Lance Phillip, I'm your host, and joining me tonight is my new beautiful co-host, Chris Bruno. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Excellent. So great to join you.
Now, anybody who lives in New Jersey may know Chris. Chris was on FM radio here in New Jersey for a very long time and has the most beautiful radio voice you've ever heard. So she's my new co-host, and we're going to be doing the Paranormal Pulse a little differently. So we hope you enjoy it. It's going to be a little bit more entertaining and a little bit less...
A little bit more entertaining.
Well,
can you hear me blushing? Since you're putting a lot on me here, buddy.
Well, you can handle it. You can carry the load. I know it. But it's going to be a little bit different format. It's going to be, again, we're going to go for a little bit more entertainment value and a little bit less technical. So, you know.
But don't worry, technique, all you geeks out there, we're still going to have technical stuff in there because we can't help it.
Absolutely. It's just what I do. So today our EKG team had a meeting this morning, breakfast, brunch, whatever you want to call it.
It was delicious.
It really was. They do a great job at the Hampton Diner. Not that they need a plug for me, but they do a great job. But
it's good food. It's good times, and we had a great meeting.
We got together to kind of discuss what we're doing for the rest of 2013, some of our plans going ahead. As some people know, we announced that Chris would join our EKG team. And again, for people who don't know, I've investigated with Chris before on another team, and we work really well together.
Yeah. Oh, we've been talking for years before that.
Right.
Oddly enough.
Yeah, we've been friends for a very long time. So there's a good comfort there. As well as we're bringing on a couple of other members who we have familiarity with. So we're going to wind up being a six-person team and possibly a seventh. But right now it looks like we have six. Four, obviously, that are out there with two names that we're not ready to say yet.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean... just so people know, we've got some good ghost hunts, but we have some other things planned too. We're looking to do a Bigfoot expedition, which should be fun. And then we do some other odd stuff. Like today we decided to, after the meeting, Rick, Jen, and myself decided to go searching out a couple of locations that are on the Weird Pennsylvania, from Weird Pennsylvania. One of them was Jane Mansfield's grave in Penn Argyle, Pennsylvania. The cemetery wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I pictured it was going to be this very big cemetery. It really wasn't. It was kind of a small cemetery. It's got one lane in, you drive around the U-shape, and she's on the, as you're coming out, you can't miss her grave. It's a beautiful white part, and it really is gorgeous. I mean, it stands out in there amongst all the other headstones. And, it's people just still put flowers there. And you can tell there are still fans that go there. Besides probably her, I know her family is still alive and in the area. But you can just tell a lot of fans put, it's the dead of winter. And there were still flowers out there that were fairly, fairly new. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm just looking here on RoadsideAmerica.com. And they have a picture of the same spot that you were standing today, and your picture that you posted on Facebook. Did you post that on our on the Facebook page on East Coast Ghost on Facebook?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Okay, so you can see the Jane Mansfield headstone as well, but I was just looking on here to see. I was just curious if she was actually from Penn Argyll or not. And they say that she's from Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. Okay, forgive me, Pennsylvanians. I don't know how to pronounce it right, but right from around there, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know, unfortunately, she died tragically in an accident where her car actually slid under the back of a truck. The rumor has always been that she was decapitated, but that's just not true. Unfortunately, she was in the center seat. Her lawyer was to the right, and I forget who the driver was that was to her left. And her kids were in the back seat, and her kids survived. Now, her death, obviously a tragedy, actually wound up saving lives in the future because that after that, they enacted a law across the country that required the trucks to have a guard so a car couldn't go under anymore. And they call it the Jane Mansfield law. And, you know, that actually has probably saved many, many more lives than, you know, in so at least, you know, her passing, you know, wound up having some good overall.
Oh, sure. Well, if you don't learn from stuff like that, then, you know, we're not progressing as human beings to begin with. So it's good that something good came of her death. But where else did you go today? I know you sent me a link to this beautiful park, and I saw a picture or two, and it's just very interesting and not the the norm for where you would normally stop by and do investigations, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. What it was is, again, we weren't necessarily going out to do investigations today. We did do an EVP session by Jane Mansfield's grave because we figured, you know, let's see if we can make contact. And honestly, I was listening to it on a real-time EVP recorder, which, for those who don't know, it plays on a little bit of a five-second delay, so that way you can hear and you can hear your own question and then any answer you got. The only thing that I may have gotten, but I really have to listen to it more clear, because again, that just happened today, was I asked if she'd rather be called by her real name or if she'd rather be called Jane, and the answer we got was, it sounded like Jane. It was very faint, and honestly, it was ridiculously windy. It might have just been the wind, so I don't know. But now, moving on, after that, we went over to, I happened to have the Weird New Jersey and Weird Pennsylvania app in my phone, and what that does, it gives you all the locations that are nearby that have been talked about in Weird New Jersey and Weird Pennsylvania. And when you get to a particular...
Now, I have to interrupt this for a second. That app that you have, is it only good on your kind of phone?
I honestly don't know. I don't know if it's on a Droid. I really can't say. It definitely is on an iPhone.
Yeah.
I believe it is on a Droid, but I'm not sure. I could be wrong, but it's definitely on the iPhone.
That sounds like a very cool app.
It really is.
Good app to have if you're just kind of driving around on a weekend and want to do something.
And the thing is, they've covered New Jersey, they've covered Pennsylvania, California, and Florida. So if you're in any of those states, the app is great.
This app brought you to this place?
Yes, because we looked up for a location that was nearby. And the location was, and I'm not 100% sure if I'm pronouncing this right, but Column Seal Monolith Park. And what that is a park that was built in 1967 by a gentleman who had been over to Ireland and Scotland and got really influenced by Stonehenge and a lot of the Celtic myth and lore. And he decided to build basically his own Stonehenge type of park. And it's got these huge stones that are in the ground, and there's a chapel that's built there with all types of beautiful Celtic symbols engraved into the floor and the walls and whatnot. And then there's this other, like, it's hard to say what it is, but it looks like it was like a tower almost that you can go in. It's probably about 20 feet tall, and you can go in. It's got beautiful stonework in there, and it's
there's a sword. I see. This is a Column Seal Megalith Park. It's columnseal.org, columcille.org, if you want to see what we're talking about. This place is cool. An infinity gate. There's, what is that, Iona? There's Thor's Gate built up there. Just beautiful just for the picture that I'm seeing, a really serene area with these just monstrous stones balanced on each other. It's beautiful.
The main Stonehenge type of thing, I don't know what you'd want to call it, but it's in a circle just like Stonehenge in England. But again, there was this tower, and, you know, of course, we always had the ghost hunting tools with us, and I decided, you know, we were walking around there, and we were doing more sightseeing than we were ghost hunting, because we weren't there to ghost hunt. You know, again, the app brought us there, not mentioning anything about the paranormal.
Right.
But I figured, I mean, they had giant pieces of quartz embedded in the ground. The tower, which I don't know what exactly they call it, I'm going to have to find out, but the tower had these altars built into it, and swords coming out of the top. I'm going to post eventually the pictures on Facebook probably in the next day or two. And then these beautiful, like, geodes coming out of the walls, and giant, like an ivory-colored stone that was set in the center. And I figured, you know, with all this stone around, it's got to be holding some type of energy. So, of course, I had a EMF meter, a K2 meter in my pocket, and I brought that in,
sure.
A video camera, and, you know, and recorder, and just.
A lot of schools of thought that support that the stone, it does contain, you know, energy or vibrations, it gives off vibrations. There's all kinds of schools of thought that follow up with that. So, did you get anything?
Well, this is what amazed me. At first, you know, I was walking around, and I just had the meter out, and I wasn't getting anything. And then Rick and Jen went off to go up a hill to look at the actual, what looks like Stonehenge, with the two large pillars with the large stone across. I stood in it. Sure. Something was drawing me to it, and I just had it sit there. And, A, I wanted to take some photos. You know, me being the photographer, I needed to really take some cool angle photos. Took the K2 meter, and I'm going around, and I'm not getting anything. Not getting anything. All of a sudden, it starts to snow, and the wind picks up. And right in front of me, like, I just felt like a weird energy, and this thing lights up. I mean, this thing lights up like Christmas, shoots across. And I said, is there someone here with me? I was like, and now the lights go out. I said, if you're here, can you move close to me and make those lights come on? Sure enough, bang, they come back on. This went on several times for about, I was videotaping for 3 minutes. Now, at this point, I wasn't videotaping with my, the video camera. I was actually just using my iPhone. Now, my iPhone, when we got out of the car, I had it plugged in, was at 100% power. 3 minutes into this video, iPhone dies, goes dead, completely dead. I thought I ran out of memory on the, and that's why it stopped filming. And then I realized it didn't stop filming. The iPhone just turned off totally. Well, of course, I pull out the other camera, right? And now I'm all excited. I call Jen and Rick over. I call them back to the room, you know, back to the tower. They come in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get this thing to react. I'm getting very faint reactions. Like, you know, I was telling it, you know, don't be afraid that I brought friends in. Show them that you're here. And I'm just getting tiny little spikes, but I'm not getting anything. Like, nothing significant,
right.
Like I was the first, you know, 3 minutes that I was going through this thing. We did set up the obelisk. We got a couple words, but they were just random, so I don't know. They weren't in context of anything. But it was just amazing. This thing was reacting to my questions. I was asking it to move away, move closer, and it was going on and off on command, basically. You know, as I was requesting, it was reacting.
That sounds very, very cool. Now, it was just in that one tower, nowhere else on the property?
Well, that was the thing. I walked out. Well, first of all, I did all these baselines, and I wasn't getting anything. And even after the fact, I did baselines again to see if it was something that was related to the stone. You know, all the stonework, and I was getting nothing.
Sure.
Just zero. So I walked out, and we went over to the chapel. When we got to the chapel, we were getting small hits. Nothing like I got in the tower. You know, we were getting two lights at most, where in the tower, everything was coming across. We did get some hits on the obelisk. And in that room, the obelisk made sense to the question. So I'm going to put together a video so everybody could see it.
Cool.
But it was really interesting. But the place is beautiful. I mean, if you're not there for the paranormal, I want to see that place in the spring and in the summer.
Yeah.
And the fall.
Oh, it, from the pictures, it looks beautiful. I just want to read what they have on the website real quick, and then we can give the website again. It says, welcome to a playground of myth and mystery located in the Appalachian Mountains of eastern Pennsylvania. Now, that's... just that alone makes me wonder. I would want to research the location just to see why they chose that spot for this. This is supposed to be a whole outdoor sanctuary open to the public as a sacred space for quiet meditation. That's the intended use right now. Mm-hmm. But obviously there's a lot of energy there that's intelligent, not just kind of floating around. So you can interpret it whatever way, but that's Colm Seal, if indeed we're pronouncing that correctly, Megalith Park.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that at one point I was asking you questions, and I was just so overwhelmed by the response I was getting, and also at some point I really felt like there was an energy around me. I didn't know what to ask anymore. I actually say, I watched back the video, I was like, I don't know what to ask you at this point, other than...
Maybe you finally experienced something that you just kind of sit there and enjoy the energy that people talk about all the time.
Yeah, and the thing was, the only thing I could resort back to was, can you just validate you here and move closer to me again? And sure enough, there it is. It moves closer to me. So,
cool.
It was excellent. That was excellent.
Yeah, so the website is colmseal.org, Colmcille. Obviously, we don't want to not give credit where credit's due. I'd love to go out there. It is a private park, but it's open to the public. So, respect people's property, but enjoy. Because it looks awesome.
That is one of the things I need to do. One of the things is that, you're not allowed to do any type of commercial photography and whatnot, so I just need to get clarification. Because I don't think what we're going to put on Facebook, that's all personal use, so it's not really commercial. I just need to clear that. So
there's technicalities, I'm sure we'll...
Yeah, absolutely.
All that stuff. And you guys always should think of that when you go on any kind of little exploration, whether it be a paranormal investigation or just sightseeing.
Oh,
you want to post your pictures, you should make sure that you can have permission to post them, because they're really cracking down on that stuff now, so you don't want to get nailed with it.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so the next thing that we were talking about doing, and I don't know if you wanted to take a break and play a song, or break and chill out for a little bit and come back and we can play some Lifeboat. Sounds fun.
Take a deep breath and relax as we check your paranormal pulse.
Oh, what this is, it's a little game we like to play. It's called Lifeboat. In this case, the Paranormal Lifeboat. And what this is you're given it, you're in a lifeboat and you have two other seats. And you can only take two people on this lifeboat. One person has to go into the drink. Well, in this case, we're going to go with the cast of the Ghost Adventures crew. Our choices to join us in the lifeboat are going to be Zach Baggins, Nick Groff, and Aaron Goodwin. Well, so basically, again, you're driving this lifeboat. You can only take two of them. Who would you take and why, Chris?
Okay, well, for all of you, if you're listening to this podcast, you know who we're talking about. We're talking about Ghost Adventures with Zach, who's the main guy, who's very dramatic and pretty much narrates and leads all the investigations. Nick's his sidekick, who's kind of calm. And then Aaron, who knows nothing going in and is a spaz all the time. It makes for good TV. Lifeboat. Who am I going to tolerate? How far do I have to go? I think that would probably be the bigger question for me. How long is this trip, Lance?
It's just to get him back to safety.
I guess that I would probably keep Nick because he's my favorite and he's not so dramatic. Seems to have a good head on his shoulders kind of thing. But then my second spot, that's tough because Aaron, I understand and respect that those are legitimate emotions. And at the same time, I don't think I want to hear that the whole way there, to wherever we're floating off to. And Zach, well, he's a character. I guess I would take Zach just because he's interesting and fun to make fun of.
So you're going to let poor Aaron drown. I got you.
Sorry, Aaron. You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
See, now I have a little different take on it. For me, the first choice obviously is going to be Zach. He's the leader of the team. He's the alpha male. You need him there. You need him to go out there and, as me and Jen like to, we have a nickname for him, which is the Ghost Beater Upper, because it just seems like he wants to fight the ghosts instead of finding them.
He's a drama queen.
But
he's interesting.
He's that dynamic personality that you need. Now, my choice is actually Aaron, because to me, Aaron brings a lot to the table. I don't think, honestly, Nick brings much to the table. Nick's very quiet on the show. He doesn't say that much, and... I to me, he's the silent partner in it, where Aaron is really the guy. Hey, let's stick Aaron in the dungeon. You're gonna get a reaction out of him. You know it's gonna be a genuine reaction. I also think he brings some intangibles to the table, you know, which are not really show related, but the guy does a ton of good work. Take with a bunch of children's charities, which I don't know if Nick does or
that's
not.
That's wonderful.
Nick probably does. I don't know. But I know Aaron's very, very much out there pushing all the charities and whatnot. And, you know, but I just think as far as the show dynamic, I think you need, he's just to me the opposite of Zach, where I think, just in my opinion, I don't think Nick brings a lot. To me, Nick's very, he's a boring character, in my opinion.
I like Nick because he's more grounded and more the voice of reason for the other two. Because Zach does get very involved and excitable, and sometimes it's crap and sometimes it's not, but you know, he's very animated. Aaron just is, you know, not in on it all. He doesn't know the history, so he has legit scared reactions, and that's all fine and dandy, but you got to get yourself together after that, man. I know that they're dealing with some serious activity, but he's got to focus after he gets over that initial, oh crap, what was that, you know? And he has a hard time doing that. Where Nick is just voice of reason. Dude, calm down. Everybody calm down, you know? And that's why I like Nick. Got his good calm head on his shoulders.
I don't know.
As much as TV guys can be.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, either way, it's a good show and they have a good dynamic. But like I said, in my opinion, Nick's swimming.
All right, so you guys, you can, by all means, post us a message, send us a message on our Facebook page. That's East Coast Ghost, that's Coast with a K on Facebook. Or you can watch any of the videos at GhostHunter617 at YouTube. That's easy to get to. Post your questions or maybe your suggestions for Game of Lifeboat. We'd be happy to play. You give us your suggestions of your characters, and we'll hash it out and maybe get you guys to join in.
Just relax. We are now checking your paranormal pulse.
We do have some questions from people on the page, on the Facebook page, and from where else? From, I know they were from the Facebook page. Where else did you get questions from?
We got them in one of the Facebook groups, Ghost Advice. We had some people ask us some questions in that group. We had some people ask us some questions on our EKG Facebook page. And I also got one that I don't think you have in front of you, but I'll get to that one after, that someone had messaged me about. So we have some questions here. So if you want to start reading the questions.
Yeah, let me start a question with you, kind of going right on what we were just talking about. You know, we were talking about ghost adventurers and their cast of interesting characters that investigate all over the place. And this guy kind of goes right along with it. Let's see. Lee Y, we're just going to use the last initial for privacy, asked, Scooby-Doo Gang was the original Ghost Hunters on the TV. How did they influence today's reality TV Ghost Hunters? What do you think, Lance? How did Scooby-Doo influence real-life Ghost Hunters?
Well, I don't think there's anybody in the world who doesn't know who Scooby-Doo is. And I think, you know, as kids, we all watched Scooby-Doo. But did they actually hunt ghosts, or were they crime fighters? That's the way I look at it.
They were always solving mysteries. It was in the mystery machine. Now, they weren't actually chasing ghosts. They were chasing man-made ghosts.
Right. They were actually always finding criminals. It was never really a ghost. They never came across a real ghost.
Do you think that maybe they did influence reality TV and Ghost Hunters in that respect, that we're very skeptical of what we find as quote-unquote evidence?
To an extent, because actually, you know, we all know part of being a good ghost hunter is being a good detective. So, you know, in solving these mysteries. So, yeah, I mean, I guess they do have an influence, but, you know.
I don't know if it was an influence or it just happened to, you know, be a coincidence that people think that way.
Right.
Logical thinking.
And obviously we know who had the biggest influence, I think, on ghost hunting as far as the, you know, pop culture goes, and that's obviously Ghostbusters, you know?
Sure, absolutely. Great movie, mm-hmm. First one.
But what people don't realize is that Ghostbusters was actually a TV show in the mid-70s that starred Forrest Tucker of F Troop fame and Larry Stork of F Troop fame. And they were ghost hunters that had a device that would capture ghosts, and they actually went around to chase them for ghosts with a pet gorilla that they had. It was actually on for one season in the mid-70s. You can find it online. I know some of the episodes are on YouTube and whatnot. But yeah, that's actually the first Ghostbusters show that I guess was kind of the influence for the movie later on. And people don't realize that, but yeah. But, you know, that's Scooby-Doo. Yeah, Scooby-Doo is a big influence, I guess. I know I'd love to have a mystery machine. I think that van's cool as anything.
I think I still have one of those kicking around in the house somewhere.
There was one on eBay recently that I really wanted to put a bid on for, but Jen told me she'd kill me. So I opted not to.
Okay, let's see what else we have here. We have, and I think this is a good one, and this branches off into our reality. No more TV ghost hunter stuff, but more our reality and our teams. Robert L. asked, he said, a subject I would like your opinion on is para-unity. What does it mean to you? Teams out there giving good teams a bad name. So he's asking, do you think it's a good idea for all of us to be together on everything? You know, there are some bad teams out there giving some good teams bad names because of poor practices or what have you. Because even though you're doing an investigation, there's so much involved that most people who just watch the shows don't know. So what do you think about this whole idea of para-unity? What does it mean to you and the teams out there?
It's, you know, that's like saying world peace. Can you have it? It's probably not realistic. It's probably not realistic to think you can have it. You could try for it. And I know us as a team, we have some other paranormal teams that we're great friends with. You know, the New Jersey Paranormal Group and then NJ Paranormal, John Ruggiero's group. I mean, we're friends with these groups. Banshee Paranormal out in Orange County, New York.
So is that kind of a unity in itself?
I think so, because we get along with these groups. We you know, if I had the opportunity to help one of them out, I would. And I know, you know, from talking to John and some of the other people and they would help us too. I mean, so there are groups that get along really well. I think one of the biggest problems is that there are some people who are ultra critical and they want things to be strictly their way. And they're not tolerant. And I think tolerance is a big thing because, you know, a lot of teams, if you notice, we don't put up tons of evidence. And there's a reason why I don't do that. We have a lot of evidence that we could show. But my thing is, I'm not out to impress other teams, other people. I know what we do. And honestly, my first thing is take care of our team first. You know, there's no reason for us to get into someone else's business. If somebody wants to put EVPs out there and ask me what do I think, I'll tell them. But I usually don't
share
that information. And, you know, if I find something I don't agree with or it's negative, I'll nicely or maybe privately talk to them about it. But I wouldn't put it out there.
Constructively.
Right, but I would do it privately in most cases. But because I find that a lot of people, and this is what causes a lot of bad blood in the paranormal community, somebody will put out a picture. And then what happens is 15 other people jump on board and will kill this picture. They'll criticize it. But they don't have all the facts. They weren't there. They don't know what the conditions are. Literally, trust me, as a photographer, I could pull just about any picture in the world apart and tell you how it could be faked. Does it mean they were fake?
Right.
Absolutely not. But I could do it because I know how to fake photos if I had to. Because, again, it's my background as a photographer. I can play with Photoshop and everything else and just use lots of other techniques that wouldn't even be digitally manipulated.
Right. So you think that when they post this evidence and they get such bad feedback all at once, everybody's trying to debunk their stuff, for what advantage? And then this is what's causing this bad blood and some of the bad teams, if you will, because it's very kind of elementary kind of behavior.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. As a society, we always seem to sink down to the lowest denominator. I mean, you know, it's, you know, like I said, paranormal unity is kind of like world peace. We've never achieved it. There's always been wars. There's always been fighting. And that's
right.
And that's in anything you do, whether it be a basketball game. People get angry. They push. They shove. You know, whether it be whatever industry, walk of life, game, hobby, there's always going to be competitiveness, you know. Now, does that mean you can't have personal unity with other teams? Absolutely not. I mean, like I said, there are a lot of teams we get along with. In fact, we don't have any enemies as a team. We don't have anybody who, as far as I know, dislikes us. We don't have a feud with anybody. And that's because, you know...
Yeah, well, that's the way it should be, because we're all supposed to respect each other for what they believe, and let bygones be bygones. If you ask for advice, we'll be more than happy to participate in it, but... you know, we're all individuals, and it's just there's no need for that kind of behavior. I'm off my soapbox.
You know, I've also learned, truthfully speaking, as much as I think I know, there are people out there who have been doing it way longer than I have and know more than I do.
Sure.
And my thing
is...
That's
how you learn.
Right. You take an opportunity to learn from these people. I've had people in the past come to me and say, you know, this is this, that, the other thing. And instead of lashing out, or because that's what happens, human nature is you want to defend your thing. Whatever you have out there, you want to defend it, okay? But sometimes there's not a need to. Sometimes you should take it, you know, constructively and just roll with it. There's no reason to lash out, fight back.
Right. You know? So in some way, we can have para-unity in the respect that if we kind of world peace-wise looked at each other and treated each other respectfully and helped each other out, then we wouldn't have to worry about the good team, bad team stuff.
Honestly, there's a lot of times where I think teams get a bad rap. Like, I've seen teams get killed because they put out something that some people question, and they're like, well, they don't have any ethics. And I'm like, well, you know what? I don't think it's a matter of that. I think they truly feel passionate about what they put out there. And now you've come
right
along, you know, someone's come along and criticized it or tried to pull it apart. And now, honestly, they're just defending what they feel passionate about. Now, sometimes, honestly, those passions are—I don't want to say wrong, but they might be fueled by the fact that, well, displaced, but maybe by the fact that not everybody in this field is on the same education level, same talent level, same skill level. You know, I've talked to investigators who I've worked with before, and they've honestly told me they've never picked up a book. And I asked them, well, how are you learning? And they're like, well, you know, I pick up stuff here, pick up stuff there. But they've never picked up a book. They've never done any further research. So I know when I talk to them that they're
just at a different level.
Right. And it's not necessarily wrong because they still have to learn. And like I said, and plus there's stuff I'm learning. You know, I'm not saying I know everything because I honestly don't and never will.
Right.
But I think, too, that's what you have to consider, too. You have to consider, has this team started up just 3 weeks ago and they're very new and they've only done one or two investigations? So they might just be making mistakes, rookie mistakes. And you just say, I mean, I just think if everybody stopped worrying about what everybody else is doing and just took care of themselves and their own team and did the best they could and stopped looking to fight everybody, I think we could get along.
Mind your own.
It's respect. To me, it's all respect and tolerance, but that's just like anything else in this world. Respect and tolerance will go a long way.
It's so true. So true, and a lot of learning, you know, is involved in doing this, and experience does count. I don't care what people say. Experience does help a lot when you're, you know, walking around in the dark. You get really good at it after a while.
And just one last thing. I always hear this one thing, that one thing that really drives me nuts. I hear a lot of people say, well, nothing's been proven in this field, and so so you can't say what someone else is doing is wrong. And I'm like, you know, yes, scientifically, using empirical science, nothing's been proven. But I think that's disrespectful to the investigators who have been doing this for 30, 40 years, and the people who were even doing it back to the early 1900s and late 1800s when it really kicked off, because they did come up with methods that worked, and methods that are solid and have gotten results. Obviously, we're dealing with something that's not going to act on demand, you know, because if we just go on the assumption that, you know, the spirits or ghosts were, or people who were alive before and had free will, they're still going to have free will now. So they're obviously not going to act on command. So, but there are lots of things that we know that are tried and true methods that people have gotten results with over and over and over again. So to sit there and say, well, you can't say this, you can't say that, because it hasn't been proven, I just think that's disrespectful for the people who have come before us, who put so much into it, You know, I think there's that.
Yeah.
I think there's that kind of respect too that I think people seem to ignore. You know,
there definitely should be some respect for the, you know, the pioneers of the field. I mean, there's so many skeptics even today, obviously, but there are a lot more fans than there are skeptics, amazingly enough, which means that the general consensus does believe, does have faith, and has seen some of the science behind it all to prove that there are paranormal activities going on, not just sci-fi stuff.
Oh, absolutely. But
so that being said, there are a lot of people who feel as though, and they're still very hush-hush to this day, about having any kind of experiences, seeing or experiencing paranormal activity, good, bad, or otherwise. We do have another question from Linda M. She said, and do you think seeing or experiencing paranormal things is kind of like an omen? She said, when my dad was sick, I believe he was hearing someone calling him. Now I hear my deceased calling me sometimes. Now, some people hear that question and go, not job, don't even bother. Let me tell you, just out of my own opinion, you can never, ever discredit somebody's experiences like this because nobody can prove or disprove. So this is obviously an opinion kind of based question, but so do you think that seeing or experiencing paranormal things is like a sign to you? I think, if you don't mind me just starting off with this, I think that there are so many different experiences that can be had that are paranormal in nature that, I mean, they all can indicate this saying that her dad was sick and that he was hearing somebody calling him, that most definitely could be a sign or an omen in that respect. But I don't believe that all paranormal activities that we experience are signaling something coming. I think some of them are just that. They're just an isolated incident that we were lucky enough to catch. That's my thought. What about you, Lance? What do you think?
Well, I honestly think that, yes, they could be an omen. I'll give you just from my own personal experience. My mother passed away when I was still younger. My dad passed away a little bit after that. But there have been times where I've gone through really, really stressful times, and I know my parents. I have a lot of dreams about my parents, and they talk to me in those dreams. And it's not necessarily seeing an apparition or anything, but I'm seeing them in my dreams. And my mother has this real calm. When I see her in a dream, it has a real calming effect on me, where I just kind of know everything's going to work out okay. You know, when
so would you classify that? I'm sorry, but would you classify that as paranormal?
Yeah.
Would you classify that as more of a sensitivity?
No, I would say it's. I would say it in a way it's paranormal because they're coming to me intentionally through my dreams, you know, and I have a lot of dreams. I actually keep track of a lot of my dreams. I remember, you know, I have a very, very good memory. In fact, my wife and my brother-in-law say I have a brain the size of an elephant because of everything I remember. Because I literally have a photographic memory. And I remember my dreams pretty much every morning when I wake up. And I dream a lot. And they're not always there.
Yeah.
They're not always there, my parents. And it always seems like they come around at the right time to give me a message. So, I honestly think so. Plus, I mean, how many times have we heard stories where somebody says, you know, I had a relative appear to me at the foot of my bed and they said, don't do this. And the next thing you know, you found out they didn't get on a plane because of it and that plane crashed. You hear these stories all the time.
Yeah. No, I definitely believe that. And in the same respect, I'm wondering if it's just a terminology issue. Because paranormal, to me, wouldn't necessarily include those experiences. Those are more of a, and I guess they can be defined that way, but to me, especially coming into a dream like a deja vu type thing, that is, to me, more of a sensitivity to the spirits, perhaps, rather than paranormal activity as like a ghost trapped in between dimensions or what have you.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, as far as
are they really different, or are they, you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
I hear you. But, just keep remembering that the definition of paranormal is outside the normal. It's not necessarily what goes...
Very general, so I guess we could use that.
Right. So, I mean, that's why, in that sense, I would say, yeah, it's paranormal.
Sure.
I mean, let's face it, Bigfoot's paranormal. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be involving ghosts, you know, but just... I believe that you could have omens, and, you know, I just... Yeah, I believe in that totally.
Okay. Well, we have one more question. Actually, we have two, but we're going to do this one first. And this is still on the whole, paranormal spirits in your home kind of thing. This is from Lee Y. If you're in your basement and a spirit passes through a wall, and it gets very technical with this one, so it's on you, Lance, on this one. Let's see if you can help with this. If not, we'll do some research and get back with an answer if we can't answer it. So again, Lee Y. If you're in a basement and a spirit passes through a wall where there's nothing on the other side other than dirt, could there be a vortex in that space or a body buried there? In most instances, a spirit won't go to ground if no vortex or body is not buried there. What do you think?
That's a hard one to say, because here's the problem. Obviously, with the Earth being as old as it is, and we don't know the full history of any particular piece of land. I mean, we could go back maybe 200 years. I mean, some places, obviously, there's a longer history. But you don't know what happened or what was there 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. You know, for all we know, there could have been, even though you're dug down into a basement, you know, the land has changed, the land has shifted. Who knows what was there before? So is it necessarily a vortex, you know, or a body buried on the other side? It could be decomposed. It very well could be. You know,
sure, there could be dead dinosaurs in that dirt. You don't know.
You know, if you think about it, especially here in the States, there have been people here. I mean, actually, all over the world. But I mean, there have been people who have lived and died. You know, let's face it, more people have died than are alive in this world. So,
well, sure.
So, I mean, we don't know. So, you know, somebody who, you know, long before they tracked records could have died and been buried there. We just don't know, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true, when it was still all wilderness out there, somebody could have died and just been buried there. Who knows? We really don't know. And that's a really hard one to answer, you know. Is it a...
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with that.
Plus, let's even face it. Do we really have a definition to what a vortex is at this point? We have some theories on that as well. So it's tricky. It's tricky. I mean, that's a tough question, you know, and I enjoy the question because, you know, but I don't know. It's tough to say.
I don't have an answer,
but
it's a good question to kind of go over and debate about. It's a good one.
Well, the other thing too is that, you know, again, this goes back to, the theory of, stone tape recordings, where does stone hold energy? Well,
right.
Is it possible that, you know, because let's face it, almost every basement I know of is made of a stone foundation, you know? Is it possible that that's where energy is being stored and transferred, which is why we see the apparition move toward, you know, what looks to be going through it, but is it necessarily going through it? We don't know. So...
We have one last question, and I'm just doing this because I think she'll giggle. This is from April A. She asks, if a tree falls in the woods and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a sound?
Now, see, the scientific answer is actually no, even though we...
Because there was no one there to observe it.
There's no one there to hear it. Yeah, technically, the definition of noise, it has to be able to be heard. So if there's no one there to hear it, then no. But thanks, April. Actually, we do have one more question.
Okay, yes, I'm sorry. You have it on your end there. Go ahead.
I honestly don't remember who sent me the question because I didn't write it down, fool that I am. But the question was, I got in a private message, so what the question was is that they asked, what kind of pre-investigation ritual do we have? And
I think we all have our own personal, don't we?
Well, I know me and Rick have one, which is...
Right.
We listen to Judas Priest on the way to every investigation.
Yes! What do you listen to? What do you have to listen to before you go?
That's it. Well, it's Judas Priest for us. We wind up listening to Judas Priest.
Anyone in particular? Any particular album or song?
Rick's a little fonder of the older Judas Priest. I'm a little fonder of the heavier stuff, so I like to throw in, you know, the Painkiller album, you know. But yeah, I mean, any Judas Priest is good.
Fantastic.
So, except for Turbo, we'll just ignore that album ever came out. But as far as cleansing rituals or I should say protection rituals, none. Because I've said this before, I've talked about this on other shows when I've done interviews. People have asked me, I don't want to have a protection around myself, and I'll tell you why. I want to leave myself open. I don't want to scare anything off. I don't want to fight anything off. I want to be totally open that if something wants to come after me, I want to see it.
And I respect you for that. And I do have some protection because right. I personally don't want to be possessed or anything like that. Not that that's ever happened. And, you know, not to say that I don't believe in it. I'm skeptical of it when I see it, you know, especially on TV, because you really don't know what these guys, right. producers, are there if it actually happened. But for me, I don't want to take that chance. So I do have a couple of things that I'll do, depending on the investigation, what I know about it. I mean, I don't need to know a lot. You know me. I like to be like Aaron. I want to be clueless when I go in.
Right.
So I can experience it firsthand and not have any preconceived notions or ideas or history in my head. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I still want to be protected. And if we hear that it's a particularly honorary spirit or negative energy in the area, then I protect myself, and right. I think there's a lot of people out there that think that way too.
Right, and we did have that one case where we weren't sure if it was demonic poltergeist or whatever, which it actually turned
out
ordinary causes, which we proved it wasn't anything.
Sure, but just to be safe, we had some things going on. I brought some stuff for me and for our client, and I think everything went quite well afterwards. So.
But, you know, let's face it, we've investigated with someone who loves to sage people beforehand. And I always try to run away from that because I don't want to be saged. I don't want anything, you know. I'll deal with the consequences later on. That's the way I look at it.
And of course, it depends on your beliefs. And there's a lot of very scientific people in our community. And then there's some people who are very sensitive and they have a hard time dealing with the in-between. You know, they're supposed to support each other in evidence. And but that being said, you know, not everybody who's scientific wants to be saged or holy water or whatever else you may be throwing at them to purify or protect them. I think it really is unless you all agree as a group
right.
to do something together, or somebody is urging because of the negativity of the investigation, then otherwise I would say that it's a personal thing.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
You honestly, if you're not right next to your team member and you're walking around, you're by yourself. So you need to be protected, not just not as a group.
Absolutely. And, you know, my thing is I would never, like, if people wanted to say a prayer or a sage or whatever, I would never tell them no. That's their personal choice.
Sure. It's a personal thing.
Absolutely. You know, and if they want to do it as a group, I would just, you know, I would say, go ahead, do it as a group. I'll just excuse myself. I don't want to be part of it. I know my partner kind of feels the same way about it. He never, you know, goes for any of the protection either. He's like me. We want to face things head on, so... But I know. Like,
I'm all for head on. I just don't want it coming with me.
Yeah, I hear you. Well,
as we say, we run for the bumps in the night, not away from them.
Right, and that is the one thing. When we do leave a location, I do tell whatever's there that they are not permitted to follow me home. And I do that.
Right, of course.
That is, because that's different. You know, at that point, I've already faced it and dealt with it, you know, and... You know, so far, so good. I'm knock on wood. It's, you know, it's been a few years now.
Thank
we've
you.
Had very good luck with that kind of stuff. So,
well, I think we're going to wrap it up, if that's cool with you. I've got the websites I want to give everybody.
Hey, just some last minute things. Again, if you have any ideas, we're going to play the lifeboat game pretty much every week. We want it to be related to the paranormal, obviously, because that's what we do. Or if you have any other ideas for, you know, show submissions, like, you know, if you think of something that you'd like us to talk about besides just questions and whatnot, any topics, feel free. I know in the coming weeks we're going to talk about some of the paranormal shows. We got some things coming up. I know we're going to talk about our favorite paranormal movies and that sort of thing. We have a whole bunch of stuff. It's not just going to be about the investigations and whatnot. So, but feel free, again, any questions you folks have that you want us to, you know, want us to answer, or if there's anything you want us to expand on that you heard tonight, or if you want to ask us about some of the locations. This week I'm going to be putting up on our Facebook page a list of all the locations we've done in the last 2 years, which is a lot of locations. So if you have any questions in those particular locations, feel free. Chris is going to give you all the websites where we can be contacted. Also, too, just to let everybody know, this week I had put up a new video on our YouTube channel, and it was from a solo investigation I did at a little small local cemetery where I got some, you know, interesting activity. You can check that out. That's going to be on our YouTube channel, which is, you know, Ghost Hunter 617 on YouTube. So find it, subscribe to it. We've got a lot of videos from our investigations on there, some older, some new, some major, some minor, but there's a lot of information. I also do a lot of how-to videos on there, a lot of tech videos for people who are interested in that end of it, and I'll have some more to be putting, you know, that I'll be putting up as we go. So take it away, Chris. Give them the websites.
All right. So if you want to find those YouTube videos of some of the investigations that EKG has been on, or if you want to see any of the tech videos, there's a lot of good tech stuff up there. You're going to go to YouTube and sign in like you normally do. Go to Ghost Hunter 617 and like it, follow it, subscribe to it, whatever they call it on YouTube. Follow Ghost Hunter 617. You'll get all kinds of good stuff from EKG. If you want to just go to our website, it's ekgparanormal.com. And the best place to find us is on Facebook. You can go to Facebook and find us at East Coast Ghost. It's East Coast with a K, Ghost, on Facebook. And that is where we'd love for you to submit your questions to us and suggest your lifeboat games, paranormal style. We're all for it. All right. Lance, thank you so much for me being part of this. And if you want to finish off with whatever else you've got to share, then go for it.
Like Chris said, Facebook is probably the best page. But I know some people are going to be listening. We're going to be posting this on our... Well, obviously, this will be posted. The link will be posted on our Facebook page to the podcast. I'm also going to be working on getting it up on iTunes shortly. I'll also be putting the link on our regular website. And, you know, if you don't... So there are some people who don't use Facebook. I mean, for years, I rebelled against Facebook. And I know there are people out there who don't. If you don't use Facebook, again, you can get in touch with us as a contact page on the www.ekgparanormal.com. It's a contact page, and you can submit your questions there as well. So
if you don't have Facebook, you should get one and like us.
There you go. Exactly. Beside our group, there's a million other groups on Facebook, but we'd like you to like ours first, you know, obviously.
Sure. And that's where you can make friends with all the other ones, through our page.
That's it. You can meet some of our friends and you know, some of our paranormal friends. And like I said, you know, it goes back to that paranormal unity question. There are some great groups out there that we're really good friends with, and we suggest their pages too. So you can find them on our page and whatnot. So about all the time we got this week. I'm going to post the link to this soon. There's going to be some new video up on YouTube. So thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
The Paranormal Pulse. Like us on Facebook at East Coast Ghost. That's East Coast with a K, Ghost, on Facebook. And feel it for yourself.